Morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. Oh, thank you. Great to be with you today. My name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors here at Valley. And what a good day to be together. Christmas Day to celebrate. So much to celebrate. Being together with family, having a great spread of food. We've been enjoying my wife's fine culinary skills this week. It's been great. And presents, family getting together. So much to celebrate. And the birth of our King, the Lord Jesus. What a good day. But I'm going to be honest with you. I've got a bit of a love-hate relationship with Christmas, if I'm honest. You know, because it's a great time of year, but it's stressful, isn't it? There's so many interruptions this time of year, the end of the year. There's all the end-of-year things going on. There's deadlines at work. There's stuff you've got to get done. There's all the end-of-year things for your kids. I've only got one kid in school. She's not even in school. She's in kindergarten. And there's all these end-of-year things. There's the end-of-year picnic and the end-of-year party and the end-of-year graduation, because preschoolers graduate now. And there's every child has sent home a candy cane and a personally written card to my child, so I've got to then send 30 out. I can't wait till all my kids are in school. Then I've got to send 90 out. There's so many things to do. And then there's the extracurricular things for your kids. And then there's the food, the preparations. The number of trips we've done to Westfield Plenty Valley, and it's like, I swear this will be the last time. This will be the last time. We won't have to go back again. But then there's another one. There's another one. It's endless. It's Christmas is a bit of an interruption, isn't it, really? It interrupts your diary. It interrupts your cash flow. It's an interruption. I wonder if have you thought, though, how much of an interruption that first Christmas was? Think about Mary and Joseph, this young couple, their whole lives ahead of them, going to get married. And all of a sudden, Mary's pregnant. And, you know, in a time and a place where it's not what you do before you're married, and Joseph's thinking, that's not my baby. What a spanner in the works. What an interruption that was. And in our passage today, there's a whole bunch more interruption. And we're just going to step through. If you want to follow with me, in your outline there, you got on the way in, there's the Bible verse we had read on the screen. It's going to be in there. You can follow along. And we're just going to step through some of these interruptions that happened on that first Christmas and think, why bother with all the interruption? Okay, so first, in verse 1, we have some interstate travellers. Hands up if you've come from interstate. I know there's some interstate travellers here because my in-laws are here. It's good to have you with us. Thanks for making the effort. Just for me? No. Interstate travel, verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. So these guys show up from the east. We don't know that much about them. We do know that they traveled a fair way, because if you look, there's a map on the screen. What's east of Israel? Nothing, right? There's a big desert. To get anywhere from east of Israel, you've got to travel a long way. So these guys maybe came from Persia, Babylon, that kind of way. Talking hundreds of kilometers, maybe thousands of kilometers, these guys had traveled to see Jesus. Now, I don't know what the furthest you've traveled for a baby shower is. Or a birthday party. That's a long way. A friend of mine got married, or is getting married in January over in Perth. Like, sorry, mate, I love you, but it's just too far. I just can't do it. I can't get there at this time of year. Why would they travel that far for this guy Jesus? We'll see in verse 2, up on the screen as well. They said, they come and they say, where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. So they've come to see this king. They've gone on this journey thousands of miles. It took them 2 years to get there. It's not just popping over to grandma's up for a cuppa on Christmas afternoon. It took them a long time. They're convinced that there's someone worth the journey, someone worth putting life on hold for, changing plans. Jesus is worth the journey, worth the interruption. They've seen this star. Now, when I was born, I don't know how much the universe noticed. I'm the youngest of four, so even my parents, I think, were like, oh, another one, okay. The grandkids are like, oh, the grandparents, we've got plenty of grandkids, another one, sure, great. Not that I'm bitter about that or scarred or anything. But I don't know how much the world noticed when I was born. But when Jesus is born, the universe celebrates. There's this new star appears. Was it a miracle? Was it some kind of God-ordained natural phenomena that sort of coincided? I don't know. God's the creator. The creator speaks and creation listens, so miraculous or natural. There's this star. The universe, the whole of creation is celebrating that this king has been born. Something amazing has happened. And these magi, they're excited. See in verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, That word overjoyed kind of underwhelms me a little bit, if I'm honest, because actually what happens in the Greek, it's literally something like they rejoiced with joy that was really, really great. They were really, really excited, these guys. They were happy. I don't know what makes you excited. Maybe it's watching the 2020, the Big Bash. Maybe it's watching Carols in the Domain and hearing the Alleluia chorus. Whatever makes you excited, you know, think of that and then some. And these guys are there. They're excited. And so they come and they bow down. They come and they worship and they open up their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When you see what the Magi see, there's no interruption too great. There's nothing you withhold from Jesus because you realize this man is significant. He's worth it. And you get excited. But not everyone is happy, are they, with the arrival of Jesus? There's a different kind of interruption. So wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem and they were saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. He was worried. He wasn't happy. Now, I've watched enough episodes of Queen Victoria. What's the name of that series we're watching? It is Queen Victoria. I was going to check that. Queen Victoria. I know that royal babies are really significant, okay? People get excited when there's a royal baby. People get worried when there's a royal baby. If you're a ruling monarch, the last thing you want to hear is that there's a royal baby and it's not yours, isn't it? So these guys come to King Herod. Now, King Herod, he ruled over this period. He's a Roman ruler about 37 years up until 4 AD. And he was given the title by the Romans, King of the Jews. King of the Jews. And so he comes, these guys come to him, and they say, "We've come to worship the guy who's King of the Jews." And he says, "That's me. What are you talking about? And I haven't had any babies lately. Who is this baby who's King of the Jews? Who is this rival king? Who is this guy? If you're Herod trying to rule your area, not wanting your power to be threatened, Jesus is a threat. He's a rival." And so what does Herod do? He does whatever he can to make sure there's no threat. He gets out his sword. Jesus is trouble. Jesus wants my throne, Herod's thinking. Jesus wants to take over my dominion. Herod's not the only one, though, who's disturbed. See, in the end of verse 3 there, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and also all of Jerusalem with him. So not just Herod. Now, imagine you're a Jew, you're living in Judea, you're part of this occupied people, okay? You've got these Romans ruling over you, and you're pretty tired. You're pretty tired of being treated like you don't matter. You're pretty tired of being trodden down, pushed aside. You're part of this kind of ruled people by foreign rulers, and you hear there's a new king, a rival king. You're actually just a bit nervous. You'd rather it just go away because this is going to get messy. A rival king, he's going to interrupt things. Peace, it's Roman peace. It's peace by an iron fist, but it's better than no peace. Could this be worse? Maybe this guy can offer freedom. Maybe he can offer peace. Maybe he can offer joy. But is it worth it? How can I be sure? So you're worried. I wonder who you resonate most with. These three interrupters, or these three people interrupted. The Magi who saw the star, who were overjoyed because they grasped in some way that this guy means everything. Or you resonate with Herod. I reckon there's a bit of Herod in all of us, isn't there? A bit of, hey, Jesus, what does Jesus want to do with my patch? What does he want to take from me and overrule me on? And then there's the local Jews. Maybe you're just worried that it's not worth it and life's not perfect, but worth the interruption of letting Jesus take the throne. Because Jesus, he's an interruption. He's an interrupter. He wants to be king. I think at Christmas time, we can get a bit forgiven for thinking that Jesus is pretty harmless. Like, the Christmas Jesus is cute, right? He's there in the manger. There's this. Has anyone watched Talladega Nights? This horrible movie that's hilarious. But Will Ferrell is Ricky Bobby, and he's saying grace the night before one of his big games. And he says, I want to pray to the Christmas Jesus. I like the Christmas Jesus. Dear sweet baby infant Jesus with your deity and your fuzzy diapers and your tiny fat balled up fists. The Christmas Jesus is kid. But Jesus grows up and he's a king. And he says things like, whoever isn't for me is against me. I haven't just come to bring peace, I've come to bring a sword. He says, if anyone would come after me, they must take up their cross and follow me. Jesus wants to interrupt your life. Why on earth would we celebrate this today? Sometimes it's actually good to be interrupted, isn't it? I like my sleep a lot. The only person I know who likes sleep more than me is my wife. And that makes for some interesting dynamics in our marriage. But the arrangement is, if a baby cries, it's my job. Okay, I can get back to sleep pretty quickly. That's okay. So, but a couple of years ago, I remember this one night really vividly, a bit less than a couple of years ago, lying there asleep, and I get this thwack in the leg. That's the signal you haven't heard. But this time, there's no baby crying. I hear this, and it's my wife. She's lying next to me going, oh, back is killing me. It's killing me. Rub my back. I'm like, wow, okay. I could rub your back. I think what we need to do is get you to hospital because you're pregnant and I think the baby might be coming. No, it's fine. I just want to go back to sleep. Just rub my back. It's like, no, we need to go. And an hour and a half later, we're there in the hospital with this little baby boy. Oh, I know. Yeah, that's the right response. What a good reason to be interrupted, right? Sometimes you want to be interrupted. Sometimes it's good. This is the kind of interruption Jesus is. He's the one who brings... No, he doesn't bring a, oh, he brings, but he brings joy and he brings life and he brings hope. Sometimes you want to be interrupted. Sometimes you need to be interrupted. I'm new to Melbourne and I'm very much GPS dependent at the moment. And the problem is I'm really bad at paying attention to the GPS. I've turned off the audio cues because they annoy me. But then I don't look at the thing. And this always happens when my wife is in the car, is I forget to look at the thing and I'm meant to be going this way. And I'm just going, honey, you need to move over very graciously. Very helpfully, interrupted, and you're going the wrong way. Sometimes I need to be interrupted to be told I'm going the wrong way. I need to change my course. And this is the kind of interruption that Jesus brings. Sometimes we need to be interrupted. Jesus comes not just as a king to rule his subjects, he comes as a shepherd. On the screen there, you'll see after Herod, he heard about the birth, he gets together the local Jewish experts and they tell him, Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem because there's this prophecy about him. Out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel. Friends, our world needs a shepherd, doesn't it? There's so many things wrong with our world. We need a shepherd, someone to show us where we've gone wrong, someone to make a way for us to come home. There's so many problems with our world, even in our own little kingdoms, our little Herod kingdoms that we try and keep in order. We can't get it right. In some ways, Christmas Day is actually a reminder of everything wrong with the world, isn't it? Because everyone around the Christmas table, for everyone there that you love, there's someone who's missing. Someone you've had to say goodbye to, someone you're not speaking with, someone that you miss. For every kilo of food, there's probably another kilo thrown away. And there's kids in our world who don't get to eat today. There's people over in Indonesia who are looking for, hopefully, survivors today in the wake of that tsunami. Our world's not right, is it? Our world's got problems, and we need a shepherd. How does a rival king usually set up his kingdom? It's with the sword, isn't it? He comes and enforces his authority. But Jesus is different. He's a shepherd. And he's a shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He actually sets up his kingdom by winning us over, by showing us his love. Because he grows up and he dies on the cross to make a way for his flock to come home. To promise us a world that's better than this one, that's perfect. A world that we can look forward to with hope, with joy. And a world that we have a place secured in because of Jesus and what he's done. He came to bring us confidence about the future, joy about the future. That's what our world needs. Someone who will secure us a place in his perfect kingdom in eternity, even though we don't deserve it. But in that kingdom, there's going to be no Herods. There's just going to be Magi. There's going to be those who saw and recognized how great Jesus was, how truly significant he is, and are filled with joy at his arrival. Friends, if you're not following Jesus at the moment, can I invite you to consider Jesus? Join us on another Sunday. Take a Bible home if you don't have one. There's Bibles on the table there. In February, we're going to be doing a thing called the Life Course. We're going to look through a book of the Bible and we'll have lunch together and we'll talk about what it means and why. And we'll see if we can see what the Magi saw. Can you join us? You can put on your little outline there, there's a little spot where with that connect card, you can say, I'd like to find out about the Life Course. Pop your number there and I'll get in touch with you or chat with me after. See if you can see what the Magi saw. Friends, Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great day. Enjoy the interruption. Enjoy the time to stop, be with friends, be with family. Enjoy the food. But friends, see if you can see what the Magi saw this Christmas and welcome this little king with joy, will you? How about I pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your son, the Lord Jesus, to give our world what we need. A shepherd, a king who establishes his good, perfect kingdom in love by laying down his life for us. Father, please bless us this Christmas and lift our eyes to your son, Jesus. Amen.